Ken Laban is with us. There's plenty to talk about in sport. There was some show the other night in Melbourne, and nothing pleases me more than, well, there were 80,000 there, then 78,000 people walking home with glum faces. Outstanding effort. And what about the Barrett whānau? I mean, how must mum and dad feel about having their three lads on the track at the same time? And, gee, they were outstanding, weren't they, the Barrett boys?
Yes, they were. And, of course, Kevin Smiley Barrett was one of the original Hurricanes players. Didn't quite achieve the same height as his son. And even though three of them are All Blacks, so I actually think there's five of them plus a daughter. And they're still tied up with a local Taranaki club. But, yes, it is exceptional. There was a brief cameo from the three Whitelocks. George, Sam and Luke, and of course Adam played, the fourth brother played sevens for New Zealand, but they didn't play as regularly obviously as the three Barrett boys. But it was an outstanding performance in front of a big crowd, as you've alluded to on the weekend. Darlin, we thought, you know, obviously everybody thought that was Eddie Jones and potentially the X Factor playing in Melbourne in front of an 80-plus thousand crowd, which, one, is still an indication from an international level, the popularity that rugby is able to achieve. And, of course, Melbourne, regarded by many as the sporting capital of the world. But in the end, a dominant, comprehensive and very, very physical performance from the All Blacks. And also, you know, just a word about the captaincy and leadership of Artie Savea and his acknowledgement at the end of the game with the Australian players who look to have been seriously injured as a result of the contest, and two of them in serious doubt now for the Rugby World Cup. And just his expression of compassion and concern over them and wishing them all the best in their rehab. But, yeah, interesting times. Dave Rennie, would the Wallabies have been any better at 0-3 in the Rugby Championship under Dave Rennie than Eddie Jones? Well, you'd have to say that at the end of Dave Rennie's tenure with the Wallabies last year, they were starting to look better than they are this year. So I would think, you know, the brash and very uncaring and unprofessional way that Dave Rennie was dealt with and the way that Eddie Jones was rushed in did cause a conflict. There was some concern. Some of the senior players, most none of them were happy to be quoted publicly. It was pretty clear from sources that I heard close to the team that there was a lot of unhappiness with the dismissal of Dave Rennie. So I'm not completely satisfied that Wallabies are unified in any way whatsoever and have been able to overcome what was a last-minute coaching change that was forced on them by the governance level of the game without consultation. And by comparison, well, it's been a hell of a year for Ian Foster as well, with in some ways similar treatment. He's already been sacked, let's be honest. He's just got to do out his time, and his appointment for the next little while has already been made and announced. So he's had to deal with his own demons and frustrations as well. And yet, you know, looking at the performance over the last 3 weeks, you'd have to give the All Black team every chance to make it to the last four at the Rugby World Cup. And as we all know, if you make it to the last four, you can win it. So I would think this is a very positive time for the All Blacks as they prepare for the Rugby World Cup.
Yeah, and I think it's a real acknowledgement of Ian Foster. I mean, pretty stylish, you know, the way he carried himself under intense pressure from the public, and they wanted change. He stuck to his guns, and it's been classy work from the squad over the last month or so in particular. One thing I really like about the brand that they are playing too is this blind passing in the forward pack. Their work down the left edge on Saturday night was exceptional, wasn't it? And it feels as though he's got them running in twos, and the onus on the guy who was in running in support to be there, because often the passes seem to be popped up expecting a runner to be there, and for the most part, they are. It's an exciting brand to witness, and obviously sending a shot across the bows for all others who harbour World Cup ambitions.
Yes, exactly. Well, there was that little play down that left edge. I think Tyrell Lomax handled the ball, I think, two or three times and tipped it on to a support player, which I know, knowing Tyrell personally, he would hate to do that. Given he's 6'4" and 130 kilos, he would just want to put that big left-hand fend out and charge forward himself. But, well, it was Ireland, really, Dale, who set the under the coaching of former Wigan legend Andy Farrell, had set the standard or set the bar for skillful forwards who can offload short balls and keep the ball alive in the tackle. And that's been a real part of their X factor as well. And they've had the All Blacks in all sorts of problems the last couple of times that they've played Ireland as a result. So I did see a quote from Brad Webber not that long ago saying that they'd spent an enormous amount of time at the Chiefs watching Northern Hemisphere rugby and watching the skill level of their forwards and the ability to offload and keep it alive. And we saw a lot of examples of that on the weekend. So it's something that they've added to their game. You know, not to mention some exceptional individual performances, none more so than from Scott Barrett himself, who's in the form of his life.
Fantastic effort. Nil-all's not uncommon in football. Sadly, it signalled the demise of our national team. But that aside, knowing how difficult it is to score in these international fixtures, you know, I don't think that they should be embarrassed about their effort. Far from it, but it does point to a competition that has been slickly marketed, and we just bounce from one intriguing game to another. Even though NZ is out, there's still great interest globally on the tournament being co-hosted by our country and Australia, and both seem to have done well in the way that they have presented the games. What's your assessment, therefore, even though we're out of the women's FIFA World Cup?
Yeah, well, I don't think New Zealand being in or out was a factor in the crowds anyway. As you alluded to, the slickness and professionalism of the marketing, the promotion and the hype they were able to generate. And there was some concern over poor, or what were they perceived to be poor, ticket sales at one point in the final days leading up to the competition. But, you know, football's been played in centres around New Zealand where football doesn't have a presence. And where the teams that are playing there certainly don't have a presence or a following, yet the crowds have been has been massive. The media interest has been next level, and it's captivated New Zealand. And I think it's been a tremendous promotion, not only for the sport, but I think it's been a tremendous promotion for New Zealand as a tourist destination, as well. It's a shame that the weather has been so cold, which some of the teams have alluded to coming from summer climates or coming from the end of season and expecting warmer weather. But outside of that, the tourist numbers in New Zealand, hotels, bars, restaurants, taxis, public transport, the grounds and venues themselves, which have been at capacity, are all a reflection of what has been a fantastically successful promotion, both from a GDP and economy perspective, you know, and of course a promotion for the sport. It is the biggest sport in the world, 213 countries. It's way bigger than rugby union. Than we're seeing every person with a passing interest, even not so much, you know. Well, I'm sure that all the loyal football fans are there, but it's all the additional fans that have come and added to the atmosphere and hype that's been generated around the games that have been staged in New Zealand. I think it's been a wonderful success and a great step forward for the sport of football.
Te Nauke. Let's go to South Africa here where the Netball World Cup is on. And, of course, what we hope for by staging international tourney is to bring up the standard of play in the second-tier nations, some might say minnows of competitions past. But I couldn't help but be impressed with the athleticism and potential that I thought I was witnessing when I watched Uganda play New Zealand. And then we've got an improving Trinidad Tobago. Jamaica's already on the improve. So these sorts of gatherings and tournaments, they've got a very compressed tournament in South Africa for the Netball World Cup, but can't help but feel that it's the right way to move if you want to get more intriguing international competition. What would you say of what Nolene's done here so far, and early days yet in the tournament, but even so, some good showings on court for teams on the improve.
Yeah, well, when you talk about compressed, it doesn't get any more compressed than 8 games in 10 days. Beautiful Cape Town, the home of Robben Island, where Nelson Mandela spent 27 years incarcerated. So there is a lot of emotion always around Cape Town and sporting events that are hosted. They're the second-tier nations that you reference. They aren't going to get better if they don't play tier one nations. And the challenge for all sports where you've got, you know, at the elite team in netball, New Zealand, Australia, England, they can't just continue to play themselves all the time. It's, you know, we've expressed similar sentiments in rugby as well, with only three or four countries that have ever won the Rugby World Cup. So, you know, playing Uganda and Trinidad and Tobago, Jamaica and Singapore are, you know, obviously from an elite point of view, I don't know that it does a lot tactically for the elite teams. It certainly does a lot for the lesser teams. Even if they get well beaten, they get the opportunity to see and play and be exposed to a game that's played at a higher level of intensity and pace. And I think as we get closer towards the business end of the competition, as those tier two nations start to drop out, then we'll see games obviously that are going to be more competitive. But you know, everybody's waiting around now for England, South Africa, Australia, and New Zealand as they march towards the quarterfinals in this competition.
Tēnā koe. We know that Nolene had a lot to do because of the association with the Lightning and the Melbourne Storm. So I'm assuming that over that 5 or so years she spent in Oz, she actually was exposed to a lot of Bellamy's strategic thinking. We note that she brought in Tupia Selby-Rickett as goal shoot to replace Grace Noeke. Again, ensuring that she has alternatives when she comes to her substitution strategy. There's quite a lot of science that goes into the management of international sport, and Nolene Tautua seems to have grasped some of the successful ideas from her contemporaries. What would you say of the way that she is managing the squad?
Well, Grace is young, physically and mentally, even though, you know, because of her size, she looks a lot older and a lot mature. Selby-Rickett is a little bit of a bigger body, has been in the ring a little bit longer, and can withstand some of the physical challenges that she's more used to than Grace. So that will be a strategic decision, I would suggest, from Nolene, and she would have picked that up, you know, if not from Bellamy, from other organisations that she may have been exposed to. The same way that she switched was a Katrina Rory to wing defence, knowing that the Australian team in the last final they played at the World Champions were going to pick a shorter player in that position. So she deliberately played a key New Zealand player out of position to create that mismatch, a thing which was something that I never noticed at the time, but it became apparent with Nolene's reflections after they won the last World Championship. So she would have learned, you know, and obviously from a tactical point of view, from a physical preparation point of view, the Melbourne Storm, who owns the Lightning during her tenure as the head coach, they're, of course, the Storm are legendary for their physical conditioning, their defensive attitude, their defensive work, and the resilience that they've showed. So, you know, I would think that, you know, Nolene and Craig Bellamy in the same room would be a marriage made in heaven from a coaching perspective.
Always neat to have a cordial with you, Ken. Thanks very much, man. And the Warriors got 2 points this week. As we know, they had the bye. They sit third on the table. They're up against the West Tigers in Hamilton this week. So exciting times for Warriors fans. Stay with it. Keep the faith. Ken Laban with us today from Wellington. Thank you again, Ken. Yummy. Thank you. You're with Urban Māori Radio Wāte, 6:03 a.m. It's not the first time.